Hi there. This is a quick message that this podcast is general financial advice only, meaning it is not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives. We suggest you don't act on this information until you've spoken to your professional financial advisor. You'll find our full disclaimer, link to our financial services guide and website in the show notes below.
With a year-to-year revenue increase of over 200%, adding roughly $270 billion in market value in one day, and a stock price increase of a staggering 240% in 2023, we can only be talking about the one and only semiconductor company, NVIDIA. Hello and welcome to the Invest in the Journey podcast. My name is Taylor Bree Casey and I'm the communications manager here at Munro. Today, I am joined by our CIO, Nick Griffin, to talk about one of the leaders of the Magnificent Seven, NVIDIA, and its most recent earnings results. Hi, Nick. It's great to have you here and to talk about a stock that you have admired so much, NVIDIA. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
As I mentioned, you've liked NVIDIA for a long time and you've been on record for the last few years saying you think it could be the biggest company in the world. For our audience, can you explain what NVIDIA does and why you think it could be the biggest company in the world?
Yeah, so we've owned NVIDIA since 2019. So we've owned the company for nearly 5 years, but we met them well before that. And the reason why we like NVIDIA is because it's a semiconductor design company. So they essentially design semiconductors that help basically computers go faster. Faster a computer goes, you know, the more stuff it can do. And NVIDIA is really at the forefront of this. And so we've been looking at this area for a long time in an area we called high performance compute. The important thing to remember is that most of the industry has been going down one path, which is the Moore's Law path, which is like we need to shrink semiconductors to make them faster and cheaper and better. And that's where investments like ASML have come in the past and things like TSMC and AMD, et cetera. But NVIDIA's always been taking a different path. They've always gone down this different path. And the different path they've always thought was around this concept called accelerated computing. So yes, they would shrink with everyone else, but what they would do is they would combine the chips into these much, much bigger circuits. They would combine things like CPUs and GPUs and memory all onto the one chip that would end up being bigger and bigger and bigger. So rather than going smaller and smaller and smaller, they were going bigger and bigger and bigger. And these chips became more expensive. But ultimately, they managed to do what NVIDIA calls accelerated computing. They managed to accelerate compute power beyond what Moore's Law could do. And so we always liked the company because it had this wonderful asymmetric opportunity. They're going down a different path to what everyone else is. This started with video games. So people would remember, or people probably got kids who've got gaming computers. Gaming computers are more expensive than a regular computer. Why? Because it's got big NVIDIA GPUs in it. Those NVIDIA GPUs are helping with the graphics on that computer. They're helping the video game work better. That acceleration, that extra money is making it a better experience. And then what happened sort of around 2017, 2018 is NVIDIA's, these accelerators became good for AI. They became good for recommendation engines. In the same way you think about a video game has lots of different permutations and combinations, you know, so does AI. You know, what am I interested versus what you're interested in, Taylor? You know, what's my Facebook feed going to give you versus what your Facebook feed's going to give you? And so companies like Facebook and other people started buying these accelerators to accelerate their data centers. And this was really sort of 2018 through to 2021. And then of course, you know, and it was taking share all the time in data center. The data center business actually became bigger than their video game business. Then their auto business started becoming quite big as well because everyone started to adopt the NVIDIA platform. And then, of course, along came generative AI. And obviously demand has exploded dramatically, which is what we're going to talk about today. But I suppose the reason why I tell you that whole story and the reason why we like the company is because it's important to remember that NVIDIA has been telling us this the whole time. They've always said that this would happen. It's just they're just having their moment right now, and that's why everyone's looking at NVIDIA. But it's important to stress that they've taken a different path. They have a different product, and that product works very well for AI, and that product is very well in demand. So to sum that up, the simple way to think about NVIDIA is because of all the work they've done since the mid-90s to today, they are the hardware and software model for AI. If you want to program and run generative AI, you need to buy NVIDIA chips and you need to program it with the NVIDIA software, which is called CUDA. And that's why NVIDIA is having this moment and that's why it's an exciting time and that's why we're having to do this podcast to answer all these questions.
So yes, the reason why we're here is to talk about NVIDIA's results, and they reported at the end of February, which was highly anticipated and everyone was talking about it. What was your view of the results and do you have any key takeaways?
So the result was very, very good, obviously. And the numbers we're talking about here are quite frankly staggering. You know, you're looking at revenue growth that's more than 200% year on year. You're looking at net income growth that's sort of in the 600 to 700% year on year. So this company's earnings have gone up 7x in the space of a year.
Really mind-boggling numbers.
Yeah, so they're staggering numbers, and it's important to recognize they're staggering numbers at scale. So you'll see companies do this before, like, you know, Afterpay would have done that here in Australia back when it was blowing up, but not at this scale. You know, and so the guidance, the result was in, you know, sort of the guide in the $20 billion range for revenue, and the guidance was sort of for $24 billion. For next quarter. So that means they're annualizing at sort of $100 billion run rate now. That was a really big standout. The vast majority of that's coming from data center. The data center CapEx globally is only roughly $250 billion per annum. So they're getting nearly 40% of all data center CapEx spending. So I think the reason why it's such a standout result is because if you didn't think generative AI was going to be a big thing, then it is. And companies are seriously investing money in it, and they're seriously investing that money with NVIDIA. The only other thing I'd say stand out for the results for us was not only was the result very good and the guidance was very good, there just seemed to be no reasons why this won't continue quarter after quarter after quarter for the next few quarters. The company is still supply constrained, and I suspect, you know, the $24 billion guidance will go to 26, 28 next quarter and then into the 30s the quarter after that. Obviously, the harder bit is to try and work out how long that goes for, but those were the main standouts from our point of view from the results.
And so just following on from that, were there any like particular nuggets that you gleaned from the conference call and talking to their investor relations?
Yeah, so we've spoken, we know the company well, we get to speak to IR. There was a conference call also. There's two things that I'd point out. One, the company very clearly stated that they expect to continue to grow each quarter this year. Their supply constraints are such that as more supply comes on, you know, the demand is already there. So it's a demand and supply are not meeting yet. At some point they will. And so from that point of view, these results should continue for at least a couple of quarters from here. The second thing that came out that I thought was very important was Jensen Huang, the CEO, basically said that he sees conditions ripe for growth through this year and into next year and beyond. So he's not thinking this is a short-term pull forward. He's thinking this is medium-term demand. And the third thing that he said to support that, and this is where we're going to get a little bit complicated, is that he thought 40% of their data center revenues, which is the vast majority of their revenues, were coming from inference. And so what they mean, there's a difference between training and inference. You obviously use NVIDIA chips to train large language models, to train AI. There's a risk that you don't use NVIDIA chips for the inference component, i.e. when you ask a question, it gives you back an answer once the model's working. So you use them to train ChatGPT, but when ChatGPT is running, are you using a different chip that's not an NVIDIA chip? And he said that 40% of the revenues were coming from inference. I've seen him say elsewhere that's 70%. That simply means that every time you ask ChatGPT a question and you see it spinning, or every time you ask Gemini a question, you see it spinning, or every time you ask Adobe Firefly a question and you see the little wheel spinning, that's probably an NVIDIA chip working in the background. And so that means that the demand is probably more sustainable beyond just training AI. The demand for NVIDIA is sustainable for how much we use AI. And that's really important for the longevity of this demand.
And so you've sort of kind of answered it, but we've had this question a lot. Is it a bubble? Are we in a bubble? What do you think about the whole scenario?
Yeah, look, thank you. Great question. So let's take a bit of a step back. If NVIDIA does what they guided to, which is $24 billion in revenue next quarter, and that continues to grow every quarter this year, then NVIDIA is going to be doing in excess of $100 billion of revenue in 2024. And, you know, they're making sort of 60% margins on this. So they're going to do net income in the sort of $60 billion range in 2024. That's earnings per share, roughly $25, $26. To put that in perspective, $60 billion is about 40% less than what Apple's going to do this year, which is $100 billion in net income in 2024. And to put that in further perspective, you know, just a couple of years ago, NVIDIA just did $6 billion. So it's gone from $6 billion to $60 billion in net income in the space of a couple of years. It's gone from, you know, like a 15th the size of Apple to now just behind it. That feeds down to an EPS number this year of roughly $25. And at a $750 stock price, it's trading at 30 times that $25 PE multiple. So on regular valuation metrics, that's not a bubble. Apple trades at 27 times PE multiple and NVIDIA is trading at 30. So this is not a bubble stock. It is trading in line with its peers, growing significantly faster. And the bigger question is the NVIDIA share price in a bubble? It's clearly not on those metrics I gave you. The bigger question is this a big demand pull forward? It's just happened so quickly that you can't really say whether this is a demand pull forward or not. And so from our point of view, on straight valuation metrics, definitely not a bubble. The bigger question is does NVIDIA keep growing from here, or does it have a period of digestion? And I think that's the issue. Is AI a bubble, like where everyone's just pulled that demand forward, or are we just going to use this stuff prolifically day after day for the next 3 to 5 years, and NVIDIA is just going to keep growing from this much higher level, which ultimately means it'll go past Apple. And that's why we've always said for a long time now, and you know, mathematically we can get this to be the biggest company in the world.
So just to confirm, you do think NVIDIA can keep growing from here?
Yeah, so I think that's why I just went back to what Jensen said on the conference call. You know, everyone asks him the question, you know, surely, you know, demand and supply will meet, there'll be some digestion, you know, the cloud service providers are spending too much here, they'll slow down. Etc. And Jensen's very much of the view, know that we'll continue to grow in 24, which, as I said, will be roughly 60% of the earnings of Apple. And then next year they'll be, if they keep growing, they'll be roughly the same as Apple. And the next year after, they'll be past Apple. And so from our point of view, it's pretty simple. Data center CapEx is going to grow at 15% per annum from here, period. It's just how much share of that goes to NVIDIA. And at the moment, quite a lot's going to NVIDIA. And this is where I'm sure you're about to ask me about competition and a bunch, yes, of other things come into play. But if NVIDIA just grows in line with data center CapEx from here, then its earnings will go from $25 to $50 over the next 5 years. And at $50, at 30 times 50, you've got a $1,500 share price. So it just has to grow in line with data center CapEx from here, and it should end up being the biggest company in the world. We think it will actually grow faster than that, because we think you're just at the beginning of the AI boom. And we know that because we're using these products every single day. And everybody listening to this podcast is probably using these products every single day. And so we think the demand for NVIDIA chips will probably grow faster than data center CapEx for the next few years. And we can't discount that there might be a little bump along the way, but we think long-term NVIDIA's EPS will probably get to $50 and beyond. And so that's why we still think there's upside in the stock from here.
So they're very positive numbers and a positive outlook, but what could some of those bumps be? Like, what could go wrong?
I want to be very clear. You know, past performance is no indicator of future performance. This is our view. You know, we're not offering stock advice, et cetera, et cetera. What can go wrong? Okay, the simple one is this is a digestion. So AI doesn't end up being as big as what everyone thinks. Amazon, Google, Facebook, sovereigns around the world have bought too many GPUs and they don't need them all because no one ends up using this stuff as much as some people think. That could easily happen. That's happened before to NVIDIA with things like cryptocurrencies when people were using their chips for cryptocurrencies. And that would cause a bump in demand, i.e. so earnings would go down before they then started to go up again, i.e. there's a pull forward in demand. That'd be risk number one, and I think that's the most likely one. It would cause a bump in the share price and a bump in the path to where we think it can eventually get to. And like I said, it's happened before. It happened to us in 2022 with the stock and when we held it, and it happened up back in 2018 when we bought it. That gave us the opportunity to buy it. The second big risk is that, you know, competitive chips come along to displace NVIDIA. This we're less concerned about. And the reason why we are is because those competitive chips are already out there. So Google already has a thing called a TPU. They've been working on it for 5 years. They still buy 60% of their data center accelerators from NVIDIA. It's only really managed to replace 40 because it can only do specific tasks. Amazon has Graviton and plus some other products that they're trying to create. They're still buying 90% of their accelerators and their GPUs from NVIDIA. And Microsoft buys 100%, Facebook buys 100%. So, yes, these other chips will come along. Yes, the competitors will come along. But they have a lot of catching up to do. And basically because of what I said at the start, NVIDIA's always been going down a different path. They own the hardware and the software to this opportunity. All the developers are trained on that software. So even if you could replace the hardware, you need to get the developers to move across to the software. And right now AI is so prevalent and people are trying to build the killer application that they're going to create out of AI. Like, what's the killer app that we're going to get from AI, whether it's, you know, ChatGPT or a Firefly product or et cetera, or Microsoft Copilot? You're simply not going to waste your time building it on secondary hardware when you're trying to build the killer app. You're going to pay NVIDIA the money and try and build the killer app. And so from our point of view, competition is an issue, but it's an issue much further down the road than people think. And the last thing I'd just say is like every time you see a big computing platform come along, it's important to think about this software component. You know, mobile only really had iOS and Android. PC had Windows and Mac. AI has NVIDIA and CUDA right now, with CUDA being the software platform or the software architecture that's embedded in every single NVIDIA chip. And there is no second option. I'm sure it's going to come along, but there's really only going to be room for two or three, and they can still all win together from that point of view.
So is this a winner-takes-most opportunity?
It's definitely winner-takes-most. You know, Apple took most of the smartphone market and Microsoft took most of the PC market. But the number twos did fine as well. Android did fine in mobile. Apple did fine in PCs. So there will be number twos, but my point is you're starting this one with NVIDIA at number one and really no recognised number two. So competition just won't catch up that quickly. History suggests they won't. So that's why we're less concerned about the second one. First one's definitely a possibility. It's happened before with this company.
So NVIDIA is currently our biggest holding within our long short and our long only portfolio. What is the plan to hold NVIDIA within our portfolios moving forward?
Yeah, so NVIDIA's mainly got there to the largest position through performance this year. It's been a very strong year for NVIDIA so far, and that's grown it to the largest position in the fund. Our view on NVIDIA is still very positive. We still think there's a path for the $25 in EPS roughly that they'll do this year to go to $50 in EPS. We're not sure it's a straight line, but we're pretty confident that it'll happen. And so from that point of view, we can mathematically still get the company to double from here, and so we're still very confident in the future for NVIDIA, and that's why we're probably planning to hold it at this level from here. Obviously, we do have problems of where we go across above a maximum position size, and we may change it slightly here and there depending on, you know, if it gets ahead of itself or it's behind itself, but it's important to remember that path I'm talking about to $50 in EPS, we've actually had that for years now. We've had that path laid out back in 2020, back in 2021. All that's changed is that they got there much, much faster than we thought they would. They're getting there much faster than we thought they would. They're getting there faster than we thought they would because of generative AI and because AI is exploding. All you have to believe is that people will keep using AI every day in their experience, every day in their daily work. And every time that little wheel spins, it's going to be spinning more and more on NVIDIA GPUs. And if you believe that, then the path to $50 is there. The valuation's not out of bounds. And that's what we think about NVIDIA. And I know that people are going to come and plot it over a Cisco chart, and they're going to come and say, you know, it's bigger than some country in Europe, and I get it, but that's what the math says. That's what the math has always said to us, and so we're going to stick to the math and hold our view on NVIDIA from here, I think.
Nick, do you have any last comments to add on NVIDIA?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. Look, hopefully that's answered a few questions for a few people. I'm sure we'll continue to get questions on it on the road, and we're more than happy to answer those questions, but hopefully this has been useful, and thanks very much for taking the time, Taylor.
Thank you so much, and I'm sure everyone will be watching NVIDIA for the year ahead.
To learn more about Munro Partners and our funds, head to our website at munropartners.com.au.